It's the story of my life, you know, how could we, if there was a certain time which raised so much hope and sort of expectation that a radical change was around the corner. There is a serious possibility of change and revolution, as it were. There are differences that make a difference. Each of those differences made a difference, and expectations were running high, you know. So there's a whole story now, what happened in the 50 years, you know, for all this to be somehow stifled and to come up against the problems we have today, which are of a completely different kind. But I started speaking about this to just somehow mention this era of enthusiasm that was in the air at the time. And the student revolts in Ljubljana were part of this. And structuralism was part of this general enthusiasm. And we embrace this as the revolutionary thought, which is somehow parallel to what, okay, May 68 as a sort of one slogan that condenses so many things. And we started studying this very seriously in the 70s in Ljubljana. And by the end of the 70s, worked our way to the conclusion that Lacan is the one who leads the furthest in this structural revolution. But where did everyone else? I mean, we started, in a textbook manner with Levi-Strauss and Saussure and Jacobson and Benveniste and then Althusser, Foucault, and then came Derrida and Deleuze. When we started all this, there was a group of people in Ljubljana who somehow were stuck with this enthusiasm, I mean, and imbued with this enthusiasm and then came, I mean, through work, came to the conclusion that Lacan is the one who goes the furthest. If one had to single out one particular thing, is his fear of the subject, you know? Because structuralism at the time was seen as a current which has done away with the subject. You know? La mort de l'homme, the death of man, you know, was a misleading slogan of Foucault, you know, and everybody thought this is the end of humanism, this is the end of subject, only the structures, only the structures, whatever. So where should we cover? Where's the world coming to, like? And Lacan actually had a theory of the subject which was non-trivial, which was not a humanist theory of the subject, but which was a very important kind of new notion of the subject, which can then be linked to the Hegelian legacy. And what we learned from the Frankfurt School was not so much the humanist alienation, desalienation theory, but actually that you can't do without Hegel. Hegel is nevertheless the philosophical background with which you have to come to grips. You have to work this through. And then we thought kind of that this was a big shortcoming of the structuralist revolution in France, that they saw Hegel mostly as the enemy, the sort of black enemy against which they defined themselves as structuralist. And you can see this in almost everyone of them. You know, in Deleuze, you have this famous phrase, oublier Hegel, forget Hegel. You know, not overcome Hegel, not criticize Hegel, forget this ever happened. This is the best way to be rid of this, no? And of course, Lacan was in a strange way very closely connected to Hegel. I mean, having listened to Kojève's lectures in the 30s, and Kojève was his big other in matters of philosophy. And of course, there was this Hegelian thread. but which again was, yes, is something we could relate to, but at the same time it was problematic because the Kosheviyan reading is problematic. Our reading was quite a different kind of Hegel. But nevertheless, Hegel and Lacan, in the end, after a lot of reflection, a lot of evenings spent in hours of discussion and quite some bottles, empty bottles, there was a decision. Yes, there was the upshot that somehow we can't do without those two guys, you know, and then trying to figure out how they hang together.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't hang together quite in the way that Lacan imagined, because we were at all times critical of the Kosheviyan take. Because Lacan basically never read Hegel. I mean, he read Kushev. But there was a trouble. This was the trouble which we immediately saw, because we did read Hegel. And saw how biased his view was through the Kosheviyan lens. You could only see what Kushev was.
And so on.